stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Welcome back to the show. It being Wednesday, we're joined now by Wayne Winston, who comes on the show every single week to discuss topics on race, of race, about race, so that we can bridge the gap of sometimes misunderstanding, sometimes a different, completely different vocabulary. But it seems like we don't run out of things to talk about because as we speak right now, welcome Wayne, as we speak right now in Kenosha, Wisconsin, excuse me, Shana, as we speak right now in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that little city is absolutely flaring up out of terrible distress as a result, originally, of what appears to have been, I mean, if you look at the video, a black man trying to avoid police who were trying, in some respect, to tag him, to get him. But there were many police there, and one of them had grabbed his T-shirt and actually had him by the shirt. He wasn't resisting. He didn't put a gun or anything like that, but he was still trying to get into his car. In that respect, I guess he was moving in one direction. The police were moving in another. There were three police, one man. He had a three-year-old, a five-year-old, and I think an eight-year-old of his own children in the car waiting for him, which is why he was trying to get back to his car. And the next thing you know, I mean literally the next thing you know, some police officer thought it would be a good idea to shoot the guy and shot him up seven times. He's reportedly paralyzed below the waist, although he survived the incident, which was miraculous altogether. People were freaking out on the streets watching this in real time as this happened. Later, it was found out that the man is accused of being a rapist. But at the time he was apprehended, the police, who were white, did not know that about him. And in fact, they apprehended him in a way where they simply could have cornered him, handcuffed him, taken him in. They didn't have to shoot him. They shot him seven times. And he was completely unarmed, etc. So in the wake of this, riots have erupted in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And in the wake of those riots, some have turned violent. Other people have been shot. Wayne Winston, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. I look forward to the week where we don't have to talk about a case like this. Hello and welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. And, you know, these things just show how important this half hour is. Your show is always great, but I enjoy being part of this. You know, I've had people start to focus on the aftermath, which is the riots and so on, and that is just so tragic in and of itself. There will always be people of bad behavior, but the catalyst of just seeing this video, and I know we have, you know, listeners of different age groups, you know, most of us have Facebook. You know, these things are all over Facebook. You can see yourself. It's just at point blank range where the man has now gotten to his car and he's literally shooting him in the back, no more than a foot, firing seven shots. I just have never heard or seen anything like that of any issue with a white male or a white female. You know, I mean, that's what the police are trained for, how to de-escalate, how to subdue someone, and none of that was happening. He was trying to walk his car for whatever reason it was.
That's unbelievable. So, it was so
that's why these people are frustrated, you know, and it shocks us here in Bridgeport. It's the number one discussion in our community because racism doesn't affect white America in the same way. You can care or not care, but we don't have a choice. Because we know that could be any of us with the wrong officer. And that's why these things that they're trying to do, defunding the police, which is basically putting these things towards social entities that could help us, like social workers, you know, people to de-escalate, you know, not necessarily confront. There had to be a way to arrest this man. I mean, they could have overpowered him even prior to that. But when you have children in the car, no regard for that. His fiance was in there. And this is not the first one, because you had a young black woman who was in Walmart parking lot. And these police officers made an eight-year-old girl lay on the ground along with her mom and teenage cousins who were just shopping at Walmart made all four of them get on the ground because they said the car was stolen. And all of a sudden it comes back and says, oh, we made a mistake. It was a motorcycle. It was the plate we were looking at. Like, you can't tell the difference between a motorcycle plate and an SUV plate, and it turns out that plate was from a whole nother state. So there's clearly something going on, and it's unavoidable that it involves the race of this long-term problem we have with race. We have a high tolerance for it, and it can't be anymore. So those people are tearing up stuff, says, if that's the only way you listen to me, then this is what you're going to get.
So and we're chatting with Wayne Winston. Yeah. 203-333-9422. Let me ask you this, Wayne, because we're in the DNC and RNC season. And the RNC is making the argument, and they're having an awful lot of black people, prominent and otherwise. They are making the argument that crime affects the black community and that the solutions being offered are solutions that have been ineffective, that a lot of the cities where there is so much major crime have been controlled by Democrats and Democratic policy for years, and things haven't gotten better. I mean, politically, do you want to get into it, Wayne? Do you think that the black Republicans have a point when they say that they acknowledge the problem, but they think that the Democrats have the wrong solutions to the problem? What do you think?
Well, I think that the Republican... And I know a couple of black Republicans. I think that the problem with the Republican Party is that it has no platform for the average black American. And you can always find someone to agree with whatever their policy is, because black people are not monolithic. So we don't agree with Tim Scott. You know, we don't agree with the people that they have coming into these conventions. I remember last year there was a black man going into one of the major conventions, and the people in the crowd, the Trump people who love him, they're about to attack this young skinny black man, say, hey, what are you doing here? We're about to take him down. And he said, wait, hold it. No, I'm here to support you. I'm here to exercise my rights, because he had a gun. So they don't have a platform for us. So any Republicans.
What do you mean by the? So who is the average black American, Wayne Winston? When you say that they don't have a platform for us, so who is the average black American?
The average black American cares about education for their child. They want to be safe, so they are in favor of having police on the streets. They want to have access to the same rate of pay that our white counterparts get. They want to have the same job opportunities where no one's going to sit there and go, because of your name is Shaniqua or Khalil or Malik, you won't get a job because of your name. They want the same aspect. They want it to be the same just based upon their performance. They don't want to be able to say you can't move into this neighborhood or it gets redlined because when the black people move in, the white people move out. We're well aware of white flight. And that still exists to this day. I was just reading an article a couple of days ago from CNN that still talks about the redlining, which is a home that is owned by a black person is valued at a lower rate than the white house that's owned by a white person right next door. So there's a whole devaluation that's going on that we're acutely aware of, but we get up every day because we don't have any control over it from that aspect. So that's why what's happening in this country, with America finally listening, we're starting to address some of those issues. And it's going to take a moment. It's going to take a wave, because right now we've got a ripple. And I love the fact that a lot of my white American brothers are out there in front. In fact, they outnumber us in so many places in this country. It's so supremely encouraging. And this new generation is saying, listen, we see it's wrong and we get it. We want to be part of fixing this. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's going to be overnight. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but we get it. And that's the best hope that we have right now, because this thing with this young man, Jacob Blake, is painful. And it should be painful to any human being, not because we shouldn't arrest black people when they do something wrong. Arrest anybody.
Right. No, no. This is just, again, with the unprovoked violence against a human being, against an American. It's just shocking. Let's go to the calls. 203-333-9422. This is our weekly On Race segment, and we talk with Wayne Winston. And let us go to, we have Raymond from East Hartford. Hi, Raymond. Welcome to the show today. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Hi.
Yes. I just want to talk about police brutality. They talk about only 1% of the police are biased. But it's way, way more than that. It's probably about 40% of the police force is biased. Let me tell you when...
Raymond, where do you get that figure? Has there been a study?
I'm going to tell you. Eric Holder sent out some people from the Justice Department to go to police department in major cities around the United States. And every one of the police department they went to, they came back with gross violation, police brutality, what they cover over. Every one of them was in violation. So if police if it was just 1%, but it's everywhere in the country. It's not like it's in Chicago and it's nowhere else. Everywhere it is. Everywhere. It's about 40% of the police that are biased are treat black people different.
Raymond, what do you think? Right. So let me ask you this. How do we come up with a solution as a society when we know that if we have police feel like they are, you know, I love the professor that came on the show a month ago who coined the term for me, who used the term blue fragility. And blue fragility was what he deemed to be the sensitivity of the police force to any criticism. And the fact that as a community of police officers, when they get criticized, they overreact and they slow down or they don't do their job. This is part of the syndrome. It doesn't mean it happens everywhere. Raymond, I'm going to ask you to go because there's too much interference on your line. But I want to make the point with you, Wayne, that this idea of blue fragility, this idea of the police force themselves, when they're criticized, being perceived to not enforce laws so that people feel safe in the community. I guess, how do we deal with the conundrum of trying to eradicate police brutality but still have an effective police force? Because everybody who is a law-abiding citizen knows we need a robust police force. So how do we do that?
Well, for one, we have to acknowledge there's something going on concerning race in this country. Police officers are usually, you know, folks we know in our community. I mean, so they're the nice guys, and they come to our birthday parties. You know, they're God-fearing. I mean, they love their kids. They coach the baseball teams just like us. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a problem of a psychology that a black person is beneath them, or there's some type of way they're supposed to be more controlled than their white counterparts. If we start from there, then we could say, all right, as a police department, we know that exists. So officers, whatever's going on in your mind, we now have to have training, psychological training, to deal with that. Not just like retraining of like de-escalating, because you could train de-escalation, but if you're not talking about that thing in their head that says, when I tell a black man to stop, he better stop. If a black man criticizes me, I'm not going to take that from him. I'll take it from a white guy. He could tell me he pays my taxes, but a black guy, I'm not going to take that from him. And since
all right, let's. I get it.
To get things worked out.
Right, Wayne, let's do this. We've got callers holding. They want to speak. We're chatting with Wayne Winston on race. We're talking about Kenosha, Wisconsin, larger issues of police brutality. Your thoughts are welcome on 203-333-9422 is our number. We'll be right back with Wayne Winston. Stay tuned.
On air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
And we're back. The Lisa Wexler Show with Wayne Winston. We're speaking about race right now. The subject of interest is Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the horrid, horrid video. It would only take you a few seconds to watch it. Your mouth will drop open as a man was just shot, frankly, in cold blood. Three police officers surrounding him. One already had his T-shirt pulled. Somebody just opened fire on the poor man, shot him 7 times with his 3 kids waiting in the car. Wayne Winston joins us, but holding to be part of this segment is Mike from Manhattan. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show today. What's on your mind?
Yes, good morning, Lisa. Once again, you have a fantastic show. You should be on 8 hours a day.
And you're so sweet. Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Good morning, Winston. I just want to give you guys two quick examples of what I perceive as racism. One just happened to me last week in the town in Fairfield County. I was visiting some friends. I leave their house, driving down the street. A local police person, van or whatever, just started following me for like I'm over a mile. I'm making twists and turns into other streets, and he's right behind me, follows me all the way into the entrance of 95, and then just turns around.
Really?
It was broad daylight. It was like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. And then I was prepared for him to stop me because I actually have one of those cameras inside my car. So I said, let me click this camera on because this is awfully strange. But, nothing happened, so nothing was ever reported, and, life goes on.
You got to tell me the town, Mike. What town?
I really don't want to. Because I don't want all the police in that particular community to be stigmatized just because of action of one person. And again, nothing happened, but just
I see.
Whatever.
Now, wait a minute, Mike. So, Mike, you're black. I assume you're black, right?
Yes.
And you assume that you were followed because of your race.
Oh, it was so obvious.
Wait a minute. But sure. Let me just put my lawyer Lisa hat on for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I mean, is it possible that you were followed for another reason? Is it possible that you had a bad taillight or that something else is going on with your car or your registration was from a state that needed to quarantine? I'm just, off the top of my head. Is there a possible other reason?
Yeah, my car is only 1 year old, and it's from New York. It's a very nice car. I mean, not a Mercedes or anything, but it's a very, very nice car. My seatbelts were on. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was too obvious, actually. And once again, it just stopped right at the entrance of going into 95.
Wow. All right.
But even... Yeah, I'll give you even more of a better example. When you talk about opportunities, I'm lucky enough to be pretty well off financially, not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but I've had some pretty good jobs in my life. I was going for a job just last year at a firm, a Park Avenue firm, well-known Park Avenue firm, a pretty nice position. I go to the lobby of the building, to say, okay, I'm here to meet so-and-so. And usually, you'll get a pass and say, go on to the whatever 40th floor or something like that. But in this particular case, they said, oh, the guy is going to come downstairs and meet me in the lobby. And I said, okay, that's fine. And this lobby is like really busy. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how is he even going to recognize me? Right. So anyway, I'm waiting in the lobby and I'm sitting next to another gentleman who happens to be white. He's dressed up in a suit. And then there was another gentleman who was also white, but was not in a suit. The guy comes down and he gets right in front of us and he says, Mike, automatically right to the guy next to me, right next to me. And the guy says, no, 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 no. And then he goes to the guy next to him who wasn't even in a suit. It was Mike. And then he realized that it was me. You could tell he was embarrassed. But it's like, he didn't even think that there was a possibility that a black person would apply for this particular position. Or he'd be.
Were you wearing a suit, Mike? Position. Mike, were you wearing a suit?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. This is a management director job. It's like.
I see. Wow.
You're not even in consideration.
Wow. Wayne, go ahead. I'll let you take this. Go ahead.
Well, what he's describing, again, is what we as black people have been saying forever. They want to call it subtle, overt, just the expectation still right now, 2020. This guy right here, mm-hmm. when I see somebody for a job, I'm not going, must be the guy with the suit, without the suit, must be mm-hmm. the white guy. But on the other side, that racism we're talking about says it can't be him. And that's what the beast is. And that's what we're trying to deal with in this country. Mm-hmm. So if we're honest, if America wants to fix this, that's what we have to accept, that the racism starts with what you think. And you're going to have to take an effort to think twice. If that man goes yeah. downstairs and sees every person is equal, he would have considered him that maybe he's the black man. You know, or even
and I'm not saying that the guy was bad. I'm not saying that the guy was racist or whatever. It's not even in his mind.
No.
Well, but what's interesting, Mike, is that you said that you could tell he was embarrassed. So that's already progress.
Yeah. Yes, actually, yes. I actually turned down the job, but
they offered it to you. They offered it to you.
Well, to be honest, I was well overqualified for the job, and I was already in a pretty good position. So,
okay, but I mean, I just think you know, I guess I'm such an optimist. I'm such a Pollyanna. To me, the silver lining is he had the good graces to be embarrassed about his original assumption. But it means you're right, Wayne, that we have to change our assumptions. That's right.
Anyway, guys, have a That's great right. day, and
thanks, Mike,
and congratulations really on your daughter's call. Wedding.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Very exciting. Well, that was a really good call, don't you think, Wayne? That was really interesting.
Absolutely. And typically, see, he is a black American regardless of his financial situation. That experience is common. Right. President Obama. So that's why Republicans, they don't have a platform for us. They're not talking to him. They're talking about the people who are just so in line with the Republican standard of the trickle down. We give it to the corporations and they hire the people below the level. They haven't created any jobs, none of that stuff. That's what we need. We want jobs. We want health care. This COVID situation we're all suffering from. We want our families to be safe just like everybody else. Just give us the opportunity, no more and no less. And that will change
Wayne Winston. Thank you for being with us, Wayne Winston. We've got Clark Howard coming up from noon to 2. And then from 2 to 6, Paul Pacelli. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow. Thank you for joining us today.